to the Indiana Bible College podcast, where today we have coming all the way up to the front of the line a message preached by our president and pastor, Paul D. Mooney. He was, of course, in chapel for our Pastor's Day that you've heard us talking about on the podcast, and he preaches a message entitled, Put Up Your Measuring Sticks. A phenomenal message. We're going to bring it to you. He preached this last Tuesday. Well, before we get into that, I'd like to make you aware of Music Fest tickets. Purchase your Music Fest tickets at ibcmusicfest.com. Then up at the top, there's a preferred seating tab. If you click that, it will take you to three links, one for Wednesday, one for Thursday, and one for Friday. Friday night is a completely ticketed event. General admission $10, preferred $15, and VIP is $25. But Thursday and Wednesday, you can purchase just a preferred seat or come for free in the general admission side of things. Those nights of worship are going to be absolutely incredible as we join our voices in worship to the King of Kings at Music Fest, April 11, 12, and 13. But right now, let's listen to the Word of God. Put up your measuring sticks, Pastor Paul Mooney.
Thank you very much. Clap your hands to the Lord. Make it loud. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Has God been good to you? Has He made a way for you? Somebody say amen. God bless you. It's great to be with you, and you may be seated. Sister Mooney wanted to be with you today. Keep praying for her. She's had some physical problems, but she's getting better, and that's the good news. And so please keep praying for her that God would strengthen her. Thank you for being here. To all the pastors, I know that the staff has greeted you, but from my heart, thank you for coming and being here and just sharing some time with your students. And I know you have an affection for them and an interest in what God is going to do in their lives, and we're just very honored and thankful that God has given us an opportunity to partner together and to try to get focused on the will of God in our lives. That's an important thing. And it never, that battle, that searching for God's will, actually never, it never ends. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or if you're 88. You still need to be searching for the will of God. I'm not 88, by the way, just to clear the record there. Now, Brother Rodenbusch, we don't know. He never gives his age, Elder Brother Rodenbusch, so we're not sure. He could be 90, just a good-looking 90 man. And I do want to say it, not only thanks to all of you who are here, but also I want to say to you, to the students, and to our pastors and visitors that we are so very blessed here at IBC to have such a wonderful staff, a group of people. I wish I could go through the whole list of staff that serve here and work together and work with Sister Mooney and I in Calvary and our and just our districts and our organization. We thank God for them, and it is a great, great blessing to have them on the team, and they make everything happen. And they say nice things about me, but they, deep down in their hearts, they know that I don't do hardly anything around here. They just do it all. But would you give them a great big hand? God bless. Thank you all for your work. Thank you. Amen. I want to go to the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah. I'm not sure that we should preach exclusively out of the Old Testament, because the real hope for humanity in these days is found in the work of Jesus Christ and the cross and Acts 2:38. That's where we need to live and preach. But in the Old Testament, we find the foundational principles of faith and of the future and God's will. And not only do we find the foundations there, but we find the beautiful concepts of how God deals with, if I can say it this way, deals with the human process of thinking and trying to search out. As human beings, we are searching for things. We're searching sometimes for ourselves, and we're searching for our futures and for the will of God, and or just for our individual success and all of that. So we desperately need to look way back in that Old Testament book and find some of the struggles that human beings have, especially through the prophets and Old Testament leaders. We see them struggling to connect with God. Does that make sense? So we can't ignore that Old Testament, because we know that in the New Testament we find the tremendous anointing and power of the Holy Ghost, but in the Old Testament, as I was trying to say, not very well, is some of the processes of thought and ideas, because the way you think matters. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that's why we need to search all of these elements of Old Testament, New Testament, and all the characters that God gives us, the men, the prophets, and the women, and all of those, and even children, how they work through. So we're going to take one of those little moments in the book of Zechariah to see in a supernatural way how God speaks to his ancient or his Old Testament church to help us to understand how we ought to think. Now, I'm spending all this little buzz here because we need some thinkers in this day. We need some people that have understanding. Whatever you get, the Bible says, get understanding. So you can't just read two or three verses in the Bible to get understanding. You got to search it out. And you can't even just say, well, I've got it all figured out. And you can't find the answers on the internet. I wish I could get a little help here now. That's not where it's going to be. It's going to be in our contact with God. So if you will just stand and pray with me one more time, and let's ask the Lord, because I really do, I don't have a long sermon, I don't think, but I do want the Holy Spirit to talk to us. So would you just pray with us that somehow I'll be able to say some things today that will be helpful to you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask you to come close to us now. Draw nigh to us, God. Speak to us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will talk to us, that you will minister to us. I pray that you will open up our minds and our hearts today and give us a feeling, a sense of what we need to embrace and what we need to think through and what we need to be in these times. And we ask you, God, to minister to us, to minister to every student. And we thank every student, and we thank you for these pastors that are here with us. Walk with us in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You may be seated. So let's go to Zechariah. And this very interesting opening here in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And let's start at chapter 2. I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Has anybody got a measuring line of any kind? You got any kind of measurement tool? Could you find me one real fast? Would you have to go a long ways? Clear to your office? Oh, don't go that far. Somebody's, there's one in every crowd. I knew he was out there. The measurer. Now, this is what we're going to talk about right here. And I'm glad you had one. Thank you very, very much. But I hope you will get rid of it after I'm finished talking. Because you do not need to be carrying this around. This idea of measuring things is very important. Now, of course, somebody wants to say right away to make sure that I'm somewhat aware that man's ability to measure is part of his genius. We would not be in outer space if we couldn't measure. We got to measure everything. And we couldn't build buildings without measurements. Skyscrapers and cars and, well, you get the idea. But this little tool, as good as it is, and as it, even though it plays a very important role, somebody help me, plays an important role in what we do in life, and it matters how we measure things, but we can obsess. Sometimes in the way Sister Mooney deals with me, I think she's obsessed at measuring me at every level. You're laughing, but I know that is, you're just kind of hiding it. Because Sister Rodenbush is right back there, and she measures you all the time. You probably wouldn't have combed your hair if she hadn't have said, you ain't going out of the house with that hairdo. And when she doesn't like a tie, what do? You change it. Bless God, you're a smart man. How long have you been married? That's why you made it 55 years. Because she measures you at every level. And those conversations on the way home after you've preached a real bad sermon are very brutal. Oh, they're very brutal. Because it's not, you know, a wife is not like, or a husband, and if you wanted to flip that around, because we do have a lot of great women preachers. But, you know, that conversation is when you're talking about your sermon after the sermon. I know, Brother Sleva, listen up, because you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But that conversation is not like talking to one of the saints that's saying, oh, you preach so good tonight. Because you never get that handshake from your wife that says, you preach so good tonight. It kind of starts like this. What in the world were you thinking about? Or what's really horrible is, that didn't even make sense. I never even figured out. I wish I had some real people in the house here. I'm trying to help some of you. Be careful who you date. Just start out getting it right from the beginning, because I hope you didn't come for that, because IBC, that I know what they say about kids just come here, but no. We're coming here to find the will of God and figure out what God wants to talk to us. So here was this young man. He was out in chapter 2, and the prophet says, I lifted up my eyes and I saw this man with a measuring line in his hand. And I said, whither thou goest? And he saith, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. Now, this deserves a deep kind of connection with prophecy, New Testament, Old Testament. What I want is to reemphasize, I'm not trying to dig out every prophetic aspect of what we're going to talk about here today. But what I want you to see is just something very simple. There's a simple human dynamic at play here in this chapter. Does everybody understand that? So in other words, God's giving us an illustration about the whole idea of measuring things. And so behold the angel, this is sometimes commentators will say, this is the interpretive angel. This is the angel that speaks to the prophet to help him figure out exactly what's going on. We do need God to talk to us sometimes. And behold, the angel that did what? Talked with him, went forth, and another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, two angels here, run, speak to the young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns, watch it, without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. In other words, what God is going to do is beyond what you can fence in. It's beyond what you can measure. Now, there's so much to think about in terms of the ultimate work of God in this little verse. I know it's Old Testament, but it's also New Testament concepts. So, what I want to challenge you to do today is to avoid what is common among us. And I'm going to pick on you just a little bit. Did you give me this? Okay, I'm going to pick on you just a little bit, but this is not personal. But in every situation, from the time I started in the ministry until this very moment, there's always some jerk. Did I say that doesn't apply to you? But you know, I'm thinking about it. Maybe it does apply to you. I'm kidding now. Now, pastors already know where I'm going with this, right? You already got this. You probably preached this 100 times yourself. There's always somebody that thinks they know exactly how all this is going to work out, how life is going to work out, how revival is going to come together, or how we're going to build churches, or how we're going to do this. And I see a growing trend that bothers me a little bit. Now, don't take this personal. Don't say I'm ragging on anybody. I'm knocking people down. But really, I am trying to just knock some people down, really, to put up your measuring sticks. Because whatever it is that's going to take place in these last days is beyond what we can figure out. What we need is beyond what we really know. We can talk about what we think we need, but what we really need, we don't altogether know. Just go to Jerusalem, Jesus said, and wait there and tarry until you be endued with power. We could say this in a little different way. Stay there until you get some power. Because he's already assuming that they don't have the kind of power that they need. If they already had it, Jesus would not have sent them back to the upper room to wait and tarry until they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So whatever it was that fell on that upper room, we know it was the Spirit of God, but however you would categorize it or think about it, it was something beyond the human thought, the human idea, the human concept. Nobody was saying, I'll be glad when Jesus leaves so we can go to the upper room. They didn't even know where this upper room was necessarily. It wasn't something clearly identified, and they certainly had no idea what was going to happen. Just wait, just wait, just wait. Until I get there. And don't leave until I get there. Wait for me. I'm going to meet you there. Not in the flesh, though. I'm going to meet you there in a different way. Now, out of my heart, I say this. I am really frightened, and that's the right word. I'm really frightened when we start becoming so sophisticated and so self-motivated and so selfish and so filled with ideas and concepts that we start really believing that we can figure out a game plan for these last days. We are on the very edge of a new civilization. And I know I hammer this home to students over and over and over, and I try to get it in my own brain. And I think all of us need to just wake up every morning and say, God, this is a different kind of world. This is not grandma's church, and this is not grandpa's church, and this is a civilization in shape that is shaping itself and moving towards something that humans have never really dealt with before. Just the communication alone, the advances in medicine, the advances in all kinds of scientific things. We don't have to go through it. We know that we are in a revolution. And we need a church that can sit down and say, we can't afford to fail. We got to get our act together. We can't just play church. We got to have church. We need something that really makes a difference. And that's what's going to make it, Pastor. It's going to make it. It's when we can just take this little gadget and say, I don't know how, but I know who. I don't know exactly which way we're going to go, but we're going to go with him. I don't know exactly what I need to preach, but I'm going to depend on him to touch me and talk to me and anoint me and help me. And to do that, the angels ran out to this young man that was measuring, and they stopped him. They said, no, 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 no. One of the first thing here that kind of jumps out, Brother Brown, is they were under measuring the future. Because the very first thing the angels say is, there are no walls for you to measure. Now, this is profound. Your measurement is going to confine you. When I look at all of these young people in this room, and I kind of try, at least in some my weak way, to communicate with my heart and my feeling about this time and this moment in time, I realize that you really, not one of you young men and women in this room, and not any of us old timers, really have an idea of what we should do or how we should do it. We must wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. Now, where are you going to get those wings? You ever thought about that? You can't go down to Walmart and buy them, and Amazon's not going to ship wings to you. And we'd like to give you some wings, but IBC can't give you any wings. And neither can this world give you the kind of spiritual wings that you need to fly, to do the work of God. I wonder if I have anybody in this place that says, I want God to work in my life. I want God to guide me and lead me. You got to throw this away because you don't know about tomorrow. You don't exactly know a strategy. And I hear this way too much. And I'm sure that most ever students heard me say this, but you need to listen to me one more time. Stop setting down and trying to figure out that you know who's going to be on your team in 5 years from now. Some of the kids you're working with now may be backslid by then. You better wait till God talks to you. You better listen when the angel runs out and says, stop, stop, stop. Stop doing all your planning. Stop thinking. Stop trying to work this out. You don't even know. First of all, there's going to be more cattle than you can even imagine. There's going to be more sheep in your flock than you can even imagine. You're planning for a little mission, and God is planning for a revival that will turn the world upside down. You're looking for a position in an organization, but you don't need a position. You need a God that will walk with you and talk with you and speak to you and guide you and lead you into all truth. You need somebody that will scream at you and say, put your little measuring rod up, sir. You don't know, but there's a God that knows. There's a God that can make a way. There's a God that wants to bless you. There's a God that wants to change your life. There's a God that wants to move into your thinking. There's a God that wants to touch your talent. It might be a good idea for some of us to start praying for songs that God gives us so we can have some songs that emphasize the doctrine and the word and the name and the power and not little ballads that are sympathetic to our own little wishes and desires, but something that lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. I see a crimson stream of blood. You better see that blood. And you better think about that deliverance that came to us through Christ and through the cross. Can I get a witness? Because you can't save yourself. It takes the touch of God, the strength of God, the forgiveness of God, the power of God, the help of God. And if he has delivered you, you ought to want to lift him up and sing about him and talk about him and preach about him. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Thank God for saving me. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Go forth. It said unto him, run, 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 run. Speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. This is something new. This is something really dramatic. For the multitude of men and cattle therein cannot even be embraced by walls. For I saith the Lord, will be under her a wall. Now you got to think supernaturally. You would think Pentecostals could think supernaturally. But you observe carefully and you'll see more and more carnality coming to the tables. More and more plans. We're thinking of evangelism and evangelistic methods by incorporating ideas that we get from businesses and motivators and yeah, thank you for that little, yeah. Well, you're going to look back someday, and somebody's going to be able to say, you know, the day we really started drifting the wrong way was when we allowed people to start thinking for us instead of allowing the Lord to help us. Rush, go, quick, 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 quick. Don't even let them turn in their blueprints. We don't even want to see this thing that they're thinking about because it's a city with walls and it's completely opposite of the way God was thinking. He said, I'm thinking of cities with no walls. What does that mean? Well, you can add all those things together. It means a church. Surely it means a church without racism. Red and yellow, the little kids sing. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. And surely we must know that it's not just for America, it's for whosoever will, let him come. Poor and rich. I believe everybody needs to be born again. The same gospel for whosoever will. I don't believe there's a new message coming. We got to preach exactly what the apostles preached. And everybody needs to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's a city without walls. Everybody needs to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And I don't see another way. I see just one Lord. I don't see two Lords. I just see one Lord. I just see one faith. I just see one baptism. I just see one God who's above all, in all, through you all. Everybody needs to get saved. Everybody needs to open up their heart to the will of God. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Don't forget that the Upper Room Apostolic Church was there before the Catholic Church by about 300 years. Clap your hands to the Lord. And was 1,000 years ahead of the Baptist Church. Somebody clap your hands and you say, I want to be a Bible-believing person. Then you get that book out and you read about that upper room and you talk about it and you pray and say, God, come to us. Let the angel take you by the hand. Let God's Spirit take you aside into that secret place and talk to you about what he really has for your life. Let's get away from, I made the point maybe, but you see, you may be seated. There's a lot of individuals in here. There's a lot of students in here, pastors, your kids. Every one of them is inwardly measuring themselves. Everybody does that. I do that. I'm not able and not capable. How many times do we say that to ourselves? I don't think I can do this. You had some, you were pretty brave about going to Chicago. But I remember those days when you was talking about how this was going to work, and maybe some of your relatives are going to come and help you. And I think we said something about just starting a church with your relatives is, you know, it's not really going to work out good. I mean, you need more than that, because you don't want a little family church. You want your family with you, but you know how that works out. But you had faith. But you didn't have a blueprint, did you? So that beautiful multi-million-dollar church is setting up there now, right in the middle of some high real estate in Chicago. Did you have that all figured out? Did your little team sit around and say, what we're going to do is we're going to go up and steal that church, take it away from them Lutherans? Did that happen? No. It was just wondering if you could pay your bills or if you had enough courage to go up there. That's all it was. That's all you had. That's all you had. But you see what happens. Not only do we start measuring ourselves internally, which is very dangerous, you start trying to figure out your own abilities and talents, and you just can't do that. They that wait upon the Lord. Can you see the drama in this little, I understand it's propheticness, but just leave it all aside. Just look at the human. Angel, go, quick. Stop that measuring. Now here's what we get in school. You start measuring other students, and even some of us teachers. Well, I'll tell you, you ain't going to do nothing unless you can quote Acts 2:38. At least you should be able to quote Acts 2:38, and I gave you a test, and it was a zero. Now, I'm not advocating dumbness, because you do have to get a score. I don't know how much it's worth, actually, looking back. There's not anybody here that's graduated from a university that looks back and really think they learned a whole lot. What they were really happy is they got the degree. That's about it. I wish I could get a little help in this place. Little. Now, you can misjudge what I'm saying here, but you know, you not only have to fight against your self-judgment, but you have to fight against others that want to slap down the little measuring thing. Now, Lindell takes his little measuring thing and he goes, "You ain't never going to be a singer." But what does he know? Or, you know, what's that? One of our staff members from Alaska. What's his name? Galliot. He stayed up there too long. I can't even hardly remember his name. He thinks he's a big shot, you know. It was a joke. Come on, lighten up. When I'm joking, that means I'm just a couple minutes away from cutting your head off. You know that already, don't you? The humor comes before the blowout. But what we do, what students do, we go around and we say, you know, I don't think you're going to make it. Be careful. Sometimes even, can I get a witness from the staff? How many times, Brother Saliba, have we said, you and I had conversations going back 20-some years and saying, I never thought that kid would amount to a hill of beans. I am totally shocked. They just appointed him superintendent in such a district. There's no way I can believe that really happened. Get on the phone and make sure they didn't make a mistake. See, the measuring tool is a very dangerous thing. God chooses who he chooses. And God works with who he wants to work with. And God makes a way where you can't even imagine there is a way. And God provides money when you don't even know how in the world could this possibly happen. But we've got a God that if we will just take this little measuring thing and put it up, you might need it for some things, but you don't need it for your ministry. And you may be up against the wall right now, and the last time you preached chapel, you didn't think you did very good. And when you heard your best friend preach chapel, everything went crazy. But it's too early for you to get out the measuring rod, because you don't know what kind of city God's going to put you in or what kind of ministry he's going to give you. But I believe I can hear the Holy Ghost trying to say to somebody today, everything's going to be all right. And lo, lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you always. Even to the end of the world, the end of your ministry. I've got it all worked out for you. I've already made the way. So be careful who you counsel with. To the students, I want to say, you may be seated. You know, we try to keep you close to your pastors, because nobody loves you better than your pastors. But it is also true that sometimes pastors don't quite see everything, thankfully. And most pastors, I would say almost all pastors, understand that this journey requires a thing called faith. This journey, especially in the age that we live in, is extremely, extremely tough, because nobody has ever faced a world like these young people are facing. As a matter of fact, we're even losing some of the, I don't want to go too far afield here, I'm just going to give you a couple examples that are on my heart. You can disagree, it doesn't matter. But some of the foundational things that were part of the apostolic Pentecostal oneness culture, including UPC, Independence, ALJCs, even the PAFW and all of those, and some of us that grew up in that atmosphere realize that there were so many structured things, so many things that worked together, that were braided together, as it were, to provide opportunities, let's say, to people. Let's take ministry. We had lots of opportunities for young people to preach. Lots of fellowship meetings and get-togethers. That's almost been destroyed. Now, I'm not saying we should build it back. I'm not saying we shouldn't make changes. I'm just saying that sometimes we knock things down without replacements, because we're not thinking carefully. It's not, the angels did not run out. Is this make sense? The angels didn't run out and say, we're not going to do anything. They just stopped the measuring, but did not stop the vision. You just got to get it right. You got to make sure that whatever you're doing meets the particular need of the hour. For an example, It would be foolish for no one to teach on the no. If we just thought it was kind of just kind of tacky to teach about homosexuality. Are you kidding me? Are you going to be a generation that thinks you can get by without dealing with the homosexual issue? Which the Bible warns us that in the last days it shall be like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. You got to deal with this. You got to deal with this insanity in universities all across this world who are trying to teach children that you can choose your own sexual identity. I'm not going to harp on this, but I'm just saying, don't think it's cool to compromise with a homosexual agenda. And I'm tired of being the old man saying this. I'm waiting for some of you young guys to get a hold of one of the most dynamic, corruptive elements that comes into the world, because it, am I preaching all right? It destroys the very foundation of humanity, and somebody better rise up and get an anointing on you. I'm not saying that you need to scream and holler, but I do believe you need to be wise and say, God, help me now. I've got to find a way through this maze. I've got to find an answer, because we got a whole bunch of little children growing up. And you don't need to teach little kids how to speak in tongues either. And some of these so-called prophets that tell you, say wah, 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 and tell you you got the Holy Ghost. It is a frightful thing to do to little children, because someday that little 7-year-old boy is going to be about 14 and he's going to be out there trying to resist the temptation of some drug or some alcoholic beverage, and he doesn't have the power that somebody told him he has. And can I go on record here? The Holy Ghost is the real deal, boys and girls. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost puts a song in your heart and puts an anointing. It changes you. Somebody ought to praise him in this place. Somebody ought to lift up the name of Jesus. We will not escape the challenges. We will not escape the challenges that are facing us in this generation. But we've got to learn how to speak and how to deal with it. None of us should just go out and be bashers and slashers and hurt and wound and kill. But we need to say, show me how to measure this. And hand over. You don't know who's going to be a great preacher in this room. Some of you are going to sit at the general conference one day and say, like some people in our generation said, can you believe we're going to be, some of these kids right here are going to, young people are going to be at the conference, and they got about 14 kids around them, and they haven't even preached a youth rally yet. And there's that boy that they went to school with, and the superintendent, whoever he was, is going to be. You're going to lean over and say, can you believe that he's preaching the general conference? I thought about just going out to a restaurant tonight. I can't even hardly believe it. That was the dumbest kid I ever saw. I can't even believe it. He cut class? This sounds like I'm Skip Chapel. Didn't even show up for Pastor's Day. Well, when God does the judging, sometimes he takes a weak thing, a guy that's not maybe as sharp as you are, as educated as you are, doesn't have as much fun money in his pocket as you have, but yet God knows how to shape men. It's a big, big project, and it's beyond what even our pastors can do, and it's beyond what your mother can certainly do for you. But there's a God that says, let me measure you. Let me put you in the right place. Let me exploit or to use you or to develop your talents is a better way of saying it, and help you to be what I've called you to be. And that makes all the difference, because if we don't wait for God, everything is going to fall apart. So don't go through school and let other people. Sometimes you just got to take it. You know, some people give you a little shot down, you know, and you just got to take it and say, yeah, it's all right, you know, just forget it. Don't even fight back. Just throw it away. Because if you know that you know, if you know that God has called you and God has spoken to you, even if you can't figure out exactly how to measure, and the angel runs up to you and say, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to put you in a place that doesn't even have walls. You don't even need to be measured, because nobody living right now actually knows how to measure anybody that's in this room, because none of us really know for sure what we're going to face in these times. We don't even know what role this electronic system is going to play in these last days. How is it going to affect our children and our churches? What kind of churches are we going to have? The collapse of morals all around us. I've screamed about it already. There's no need to repeat it. But we've got lots of people thinking they can compromise along the issues of moralities. Fornicators and people that live lives contrary to nature itself are not going to be part of an apostolic revival. It's just not going to happen. You better decide to measure yourself by the Word of God. You need to get a measure tool out, but it's not your friends. It's the Word of God. And look it over and decide what you really believe, because that will make all the difference in the world. The angels ran out and they said, don't. Don't do this. The Lord has said something about a wall without any kind of fence. It was something. Here's what you need to do, though. Verse 6, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven. Deliver thyself, O Zion. Watch it. Deliver thyself. What you've got to do, don't do this, but what you've got to do is you've got to come out of this world. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. That is the challenge of this generation. Can you separate yourself from this world? And somehow parents have got to figure out a way to make sure that their children are not being intoxicated, filled up with the things of this world. Because the world has access to us in a way we have never even imagined. Our forefathers were fighting against television, but it is a small little baby tool compared to the tools that the devil has today. And yet, most of us in this generation have already bought in. We didn't even have a discussion. And hardly no one, at least the old timers, preached against television because they saw the end of it. But we are so drunk on this modern world that we've been afraid to even address the main issues. So there we are. How big are we? And now I'm suffering the temptation to measure. So maybe we just need to get to something else. Called, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I find some people around today, Brother Fielder, that are so quick to tell you how wrong this apostolic movement is and how it's not essential to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But I got a question. If you throw it all away, what are you going to go to? If you say this is not real and we should not be preaching Acts 2:38, and you understand what I mean by that. If that is not the central doctrine, and if that's not the gospel that should be lifted up across the world, then tell me what you're going to substitute for it, because I'd like to know. And some people are so brave and brassy that they think that they can just do whatever they want to do, as if Acts 2:38 is not in the Bible. But I read it, and I believe it. And I believe it is essential. And I would like for every young person in this place, put up your measuring tools, because you don't know about the future. Don't let anybody pick on you too much. Take good criticism if it comes your way. Think about people that try to challenge you. Do listen to these good pastors and teachers that try to give you some advice. But at the end of the day, don't forget, hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. God's unchanging hand. You got to reach for your friends. Jay, I remember that day out on the pier, California. And you wanted to fish so bad that an old man walked up and said, "Can I help your daughter?" And I said, "Sure." And he gave you a fishing pole. And you cast it out. It all seemed so ordinary. Old man on the pier letting my daughter, we were just tourists for a few minutes out on the pier. And who would have thought that a seal would have gotten a hold of that hook? And in an instant, Jay was going over the side. Is that right? In an instant. It happened so fast. And what happened next? I grabbed her. I grabbed her with every ounce of strength I could find. I barely caught her. Barely caught her. Because that seal was pulling her off the pier. And it wasn't a real rough day, but it was rough enough. And it was deep. And it's likely that we never would have rescued you. But when she was going over, it takes every strength, it takes every nerve in your body to forget about everything else. There's only one thing now, and that's to reach for your little girl. And that whole, I can still hear the gasps of those people who were standing there, and they were screaming, and they were, "Oh no, oh no." And just grabbed her, barely grabbed her, and pulled her back ashore. You say, "Well, what's the deal?" The deal is this. Wouldn't anybody do that? The answer is, of course, clear. Anybody would do that. The Bible says to save yourself. Save yourself. And the Bible teaches us to reach out to the world and to save the world. But what do we have? What do we have? Did we need to have a committee so we could figure out a strategy for saving Jay? No. We just needed passion. A father's passion. A father's fear. A kind of instinct that says, "I've got to give it everything I've got." And you don't even have time to think that. It's an instinct. And you just reach and grab. I believe that that is what the Holy Spirit wants to do to this generation. Not to give you the solutions and not to measure you out on your talents and abilities, because it's not by might or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And some of the greatest preachers and teachers in this room, both male and female, are yet to be discovered. And don't ever doubt that God can use you. And you may say, "Well, I just wasn't all that bright, or I didn't have a lot of talent." But God knows exactly who you are, and He knows exactly where you're going to be. Don't get out the measuring stick. Let it go. Get in your own prayer room. Do your own thing. Make your own commitment. Follow God. Stay with Him. Keep your eyes on what God has for you to do. And the drama of your victories and the drama of your life and the joy that will come to you will come in mysterious ways. He moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. And if you wanted a connection with an idea, something you can get a picture of this. This revival that's going to be fueled by some of the most willing young people. Your generation has a willingness to give themselves to the cause. I don't think there's been a generation that has been more willing to just go somewhere and die. We hear it almost every day. "Where do you want me to go?" "Well, go here. We'll go there. I just want to..." This is the right spirit. Hang on to it. And God will make a way for you. Just go. And don't try to be too technical. Just wait on God. And the Holy Ghost will come. And the revival will break through. And the angel will walk with you. And maybe God will stop you every time you get out that little measuring stick and try to say, "I can't do this." Because God's going to come right back at you and say, "All things are possible." Could I get you to stand, students, right now, if you're ready to make a fresh commitment without a measuring stick? I know so many people in life that did such great things for God. When we were kids together, who would have ever believed? People that you could almost say turned the world upside down, at least to some degree. You never could know about it. So who in this room would just raise your hand right now and say, Brother Mooney, pastors, staff, we're going to just turn it over to Jesus and put up the measuring rods, because God's going to put us in a city without walls, a world that nobody has ever faced before and nobody can measure it. So what do? Just give your life to him right now in a fresh way. Just say, God, not my will. A simple prayer, not my will, but thy will be done.
The new IBC album will be released April 11th. You can order your digital copy on iTunes or listen on most music streaming services. You can also purchase split tracks, chord charts, and physical product at voicevision.com. Thanks again for listening to the Indiana Bible College podcast, where we're training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today.